So tonight, if you'd take your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Daniel. For our Bible study, we're going to be looking into Daniel's life a little bit. A faithful young man, Daniel was. The book of Daniel and chapter 1. The events of this book, or at least the beginning, as the book covers more than 70 years in terms of the narrative of Daniel's life, covers more than 70 years. As we come at the beginning of the book, it's about 600 years before Christ came. Gives you an idea of the time frame in which this happened. And the Bible tells us that in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray you'd bless this time as we've opened your word. I pray that you would help us to see the godliness of this teenager, Daniel, and his three friends as well. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be faithful, regardless of our age, regardless of where we find ourselves and what the chaos of our world is, that we would choose to be faithful, whether anybody sees or not. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. During this time in the nation of Judah, where Jehoiakim was the king, the Bible tells us that Jehoiakim was an evil king. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. You could go over to 2 Chronicles to notice this and other places, but 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36. And I'll ask a few different ones to do some reading, so it'd be good to have your Bible handy. 2 Chronicles, that's in the Old Testament, chapter 36, and I'm going to begin with verse 5. The Bible says, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and whoever has it there, let's read it together. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. This was the nation of Judah. This was supposed to be a nation that feared God, that followed God. They said that they followed God. They believed in the true and living God, Jehovah, the creator of all the world. But Jehoiakim did that which was evil, and many in the nation did the same. There was a lot of wickedness. We could read a lot of verses that talk about the evil of that time. We could go down to verse 12, talking here it says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. So he didn't give his attention as a nation. They weren't listening to God. This is, I believe, speaking about not necessarily Jehoiakim, but just to give you an idea of the spirit of that time in Judah. They resisted God. They were not following God. They had rebelled against God. We could go over to Jeremiah, since he was mentioned here. We can go over to chapter 2 of Jeremiah. He was a prophet during that time, right after the book of Isaiah. You'll find the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 9, Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles or the islands of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar and consider diligently. Go around and look around at other nations, other countries, and see if there be something like this. See if there be such a thing. Verse 11, hath a nation changed their gods? Small g here, speaking of their false gods. Have nations been changing gods? I mean, were they saying, let's not follow, Baal anymore. Let's follow Ashtaroth. I mean, were they changing gods? No, not really. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. In other words, they had the true and living God. They had the way of blessing to walk in obedience and listen to the voice of the Lord. But yet, the Bible says they turned away from that. And the Bible says here in verse 12, be astonished, O ye heavens. I mean, this is shocking. This is unbelievable. This is unusual. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Read together verse 13 if you have it there. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. My people, they forsook the beautiful fountain of water, of life. They forsook that, and they went about to try to build their own supply of water. They built cisterns, and this is illustrative of the way that they were living, not necessarily literally that they were building cisterns, but in a spiritual sense, they forsook the true and living God, the God of life, the God of help, the God of hope, and they went out to the weak and beggarly scraps of the world, which don't satisfy. What a sad situation it was in the nation of Judah. They sinned against God. Down in verse 20, it tells them, talks about how they were playing the harlot. They were very unfaithful to God, and many other things. You can look down at verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? In other words, does a maid forget that she was married? Does she just forget what she wore on her wedding day and that special time in her life? And yet God says about his people, he says, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. There are days and days and days that have gone by that my people have not remembered the Lord their God. What a sad state. So that's where we kind of a little bit of the background when we come to Daniel chapter 1. When the Bible says in verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand, right? Nebuchadnezzar came up from Babylon, one of the greatest nations in terms of strength, military might, industry, whatever. They were a dominant power in that time. And when Judah was following God, they had God's protection. And Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar or any other wicked king could not have done them harm. They could have defended themselves with God on their side. But even though they were a nation that professed the true and living God, maybe with their words, it was not a nation that was pleasing to the Lord any longer. They were not following. They were not listening and obeying God. They were stubborn. They were going their own way. And the Bible says in verse 2, why don't you read those first four words of verse 2? Let's all read it out loud. And the Lord gave. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. So God is saying, I just turned my people, the nation of Judah, right over to that wicked king, Nebuchadnezzar. He came to attack, and God just gave them over. So this is the world Daniel was growing up in. This is the world he grew up in his youth, and now as a teenager. middle teens more than likely. Here he is, and this is the society of what should have been a godly nation. It was a corrupted nation that had a foundation of godliness, right? It had a godly history in many ways, not in every way, but in many ways, a godly founding, as it were. But in this current time, it was sad and despicable and a disgrace to God. Daniel grew up in that, and he is taken in this captivity. He and a number of others that looked good. These were strong young men. These looked like very intelligent young men. And the Bible says the king, that is Nebuchadnezzar, wanted some good young men to come to Babylon. So they took them captive. They took them prisoner. And they brought them down to Babylon. And it says here, verse 4, children in whom was no blemish. That's what they were looking for. Young people who really looked good. I mean, and Babylon hoped to brainwash them and incorporate them into their society and their wisdom and strength to turn it in their favor, to make Babylon a better nation in terms of might and man's wisdom and all that kind of thing. And so that was King Nebuchadnezzar's plan. It says in the middle of verse 4, talking about what the king was looking for, people, these young people who were skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. They were going to reteach these intelligent, good-looking people from Israel, from Judah. They were going to mold them into good Babylonians. And verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, the best of the food they were going to get from the king's kitchen, as it were. And the king's diet, they were going to eat the best that Babylon had to offer. And it says here, after 3 years, middle of verse 5, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So this was a long process. 3 years, Alec, that people were going to be, these captives were going to be trained. 3 years before they would really be given opportunity to be given responsibility to stand before the king. All right? And the Bible says in verse 6, and among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So these four young men. And verse 7 tells us that unto the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and unto Hanani of Shadrach, and unto Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now these names that the Bible tells us these four individuals had are names that refer to God. In other words, their given names in Judah refer to the true and living God. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means God has blessed or God has favored. Mishael means in the image of God. Azariah means Jehovah has helped, or Jehovah is my help. And so we can see further that these young men, their homes, they obviously had parents who had some level of respect for God, because they were given good names. They were given names that referred to God. These young men, though there may have been problems, you know, there were obviously issues in their country, in their communities. There were obviously issues. There were things that did not please the Lord. But it's evident that at least in some part, they were raised in good homes that feared God and were taught about the true and living God. Well, when they came to Babylon, there was nobody teaching them about the true and living God any longer. They were teaching about idols. They were getting them enrolled in the school of the Chaldeans to learn all the ways of the Babylonians. And so We have all of this transpiring. Well, the Bible tells us about Daniel in verse 8. And do I have somebody who could read verse 8? All right, go ahead. So Daniel purposed in his heart. Here is Daniel, a teenager, raised in a good home, raised in, we don't know exactly, but we have to assume that it was a pretty decent home that he was raised in, being taught about the Lord. And as he comes here into this strange place, he is stripped away from his family. His family didn't come with him. He's all on his own. He's with a lot of other people. This wasn't the only four. There were many other people from his community that would have been there. And those aren't necessarily mentioned here. But these four are, and particularly Daniel at the first here. And Daniel took a stand. He said, I'm going to honor God. I am going to honor God even though I'm in a strange place, even though I'm far from my family, even though no one really even cares what I do. And the pressure is on me to do wrong and to eat things that I know are not right. They would not honor God. The things that the king was saying he was going to serve, though it was from the royal kitchen, he knew it wasn't what a Jewish boy should be eating. And he wanted to honor God, even in the little things. Daniel was a man of integrity. Integrity means doing the right thing, even if nobody's looking. Doing the right thing, even when no one's looking. Well, obviously, someone is always looking. God is always watching. And Daniel understood that. And he wanted to honor God. It didn't matter that he was so far away from home. He was going to do right. He was going to please God. And so with a good attitude, he requested from the leadership put over him that he might have a different kind of a diet. And you know what? His approach to that authority was so respectful and so patient, so kind, that the authority, though they feared the wrath of the king, if something went wrong and they didn't get the right food that was prescribed, Daniel said, you know what? Let's try it for a time. Let's try it for 10 days and test and see how it is. Verse 12. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servant. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So Daniel took a stand for what was right, even in what seemed like a small thing. Daniel said, I'm going to do what's right. I want to honor God, even in this strange place, even though I'm taken captive as a slave, essentially. He said, I'm going to do right. Can I ask you, are you going to choose to do right? What if no one else is looking? What if no one else you think is seeing you? Are you going to do right? In that far off corner, in that far off place, are you going to do right? You know, Daniel purposed in his heart. You know, there's a step of wisdom. Purposing. I am going to honor God. You know, wisdom is making a decision before a decision has to be made. I'm going to do God's will. You know what? A young person, or an older person for that matter, but you know what? A younger person can say, can commit in their heart, purpose in their heart before God, and say, you know what? I am going to honor my parents. I am going to seek God's will. Boy, I don't know what he has for me. I don't know where he'll lead me. But you know what? I'm going to follow him. I'm going to obey the Bible. I'm going to obey God's word. Oh, the pressures of the world will come. Oh, be absolutely sure. But a wise person decides and purposes, I will do what's right. When I am tempted, maybe it's in a situation with friends and we're in a certain place and it seems like maybe, you know, mom and dad are not there and I'm pressured to do something that I know is not right. I already know the choice I'm going to make. Have I purposed? I'm going to honor God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to go with the flow. I'm going to stand for the Lord. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to participate in that. That wouldn't be right. And so Daniel took that kind of stand. And it really seems that these three other young men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also with him took that stand. But Daniel led in this. That is apparent. He had purposed. And you know, that's something interesting, that we can have an influence on others for good or bad. You know, I wonder if Daniel had not stood, would Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah stood? Yes. And when, well, would they have? I don't know. And when bigger tests came along, would Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah been in that same place where they would be willing to be thrown into the fiery furnace and stand for the Lord, right? The tests only got greater. Understand that. It started with his diet, but the tests did become greater. And Daniel was tested in numerous ways. Will you choose to follow the Lord? Will you choose, will you purpose ahead of time that you are going to do God's will, that you are going to seek God's will? It doesn't matter, you know, down the road, different kinds of trials will come. There are different kinds of tests will come. Maybe it'll be a lovely or handsome person who comes along that just gets your attention and you think, wow, but maybe mom and dad are more cautious and say, ooh, you know, there's things that concern me. Will you say, I know the decision I'm going to make. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to trust the Lord with this. I know what my heart is seeking out. I know what I'm drawn to. I'm drawn to maybe pushing mom and dad's advice aside, and I want to go my own way. Hey, I can make my own decisions, you know. Or am I going to say, you know what? Long time ago, I purposed in my heart that I was going to honor God. I was going to do His will. I was going to honor my parents. I'm going to honor His word. And so the choices are much easier because there's so many things taken right off the table. They're not even an option because that wouldn't honor God. So that's not even, it's no choice, it's no difficulty there. It's just, that's not a choice. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to do what pleases God. It doesn't matter who's watching or who's not watching because I have purposed in my heart. That's the kind of purpose that Daniel had. He was going to honor God, and boy, he did. He was faithful. And he requested of the authority in his life in this situation with a good spirit. We can see that even a little later on. I'll point out chapter 6 of Daniel. If you look there, here's a chance to read a verse. And verse 3, all right. Now this is obviously many years later. But I think the spirit that Daniel had at this later time is a very comparable to what he had in those early days as well. And so Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Go ahead. So the Bible says, because an excellent spirit was in him. Daniel had an excellent spirit. This wasn't a cantankerous, troublemaking guy that was just, when it was convenient, he said, oh, I want to follow God, so I'm a stick in the mud and I don't want to do what you say. That's not the spirit that Daniel had. That wasn't at all. He genuinely wanted to follow the Lord, and he followed the Lord not just in the choices he made, but he followed the Lord in the attitude which he had as well along the way, and how he respected others and authorities God had put in his life. And so, Daniel, what an example that we have here in Daniel's life. And you know what? For 75 years, Daniel was faithful over the course of the narrative over four kings that came into Babylon. And you know what? Daniel never got to go back to his homeland. He never went back there. He stayed here in Babylon and was faithful, had an impeccable character, and honored God all the days of his life. What an example that Daniel is. What have you purposed to do? Have you purposed to honor God? Have you purposed to obey the word of God? To do the will of God? It's a choice that we would be wise to make before the choice has to be made. Right? That would be wisdom.